News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. European leaders scrambling to contain the fallout from last week's explosive Oval Office meeting between President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky. ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce has Moscow's reaction.
The Kremlin overnight noting the U.S. is rapidly changing its foreign policy, saying it is now, quote, largely in line with our vision. Meanwhile, here at the White House today, the president is expected to meet with his top national security advisors to be briefed on Ukraine and discuss next steps.
Most European leaders rallied around Zelensky at a weekend summit in London. One person was killed, several others hurt when a car rammed into a crowd of people in the western German town of Mannheim. The driver is under arrest. The independent film Anora, which cost only $6 million to make, was a big winner at the Oscars last night. Director Sean Baker winning Best Picture, director, screenplay, and editing, the first person to win four Oscars for the same film on the same night. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Wisconsin Department of Justice, Division of Criminal Investigation, is conducting an officer-involved death investigation in the town of Blue Mounds that occurred last evening. At approximately 6:20, a Wisconsin State Patrol trooper attempted to initiate a traffic stop on U.S. Highway 18-151 near mile marker 52 in Iowa County. The subject failed to stop, prompting a pursuit. A deputy with the Iowa County Sheriff's Office joined the pursuit shortly after it began. The pursuit ended when the subject crashed near mile marker 65 in the town of Blue Mounds. EMS responded and the subject was pronounced dead at the scene. DCI is leading this investigation and is assisted by a DCI crime response specialist, the Dane County Sheriff's Office, and the Mount Horeb Police Department. All involved law enforcement are fully cooperating with DCI during this investigation. DCI is continuing to review evidence and determine the facts of this incident and will turn over the investigative reports to the Dane County District Attorney's Office when the investigation concludes. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the arrest of John Charles Fanta, 60, of rural Viroqua, as the result of an ongoing investigation into illegal drug activities. On Friday morning at approximately 9 o'clock, a search warrant was executed at a residence on Nelson Road, rural Viroqua, in the town of Franklin. Illegal drugs, drug paraphernalia, and a firearm were located. John Fanta was arrested and booked into the detention center on recommended charges of manufacturing and delivering methamphetamine, possession with intent to deliver methamphetamine, possession of drug paraphernalia, maintaining a drug trafficking place, and a felon in possession of a firearm. This case remains under investigation by the Vernon County Sheriff's Office.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Wisconsin with a loss at Michigan State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers losing to the Spartans 71-62. Both teams struggled at times with their shooting. What made the difference? Head coach Greg Gard.
Untimely turnovers. I thought we had a one-point game with about 5-6 minutes to go. We turned the ball over twice in a row coming in transition. And those are the things, the ones you can't give them a mulligan right back. After we had got them to miss, we got them to miss a free throw. And then some offensive rebounding.
The Badgers play Minnesota Wednesday night. Marquette has a new women's volleyball head coach. Tom Madosa spent the last 7 years in South Carolina. He replaces Ryan Thies, who was hired away by Florida at the NFL scouting combine. Badgers left tackle Jack Nelson from Stoughton, Wisconsin, talked about his dad, Todd, who played for the Badgers, and his younger brother, Barrett, also now on the team.
I mean, it means the world to me. You know, I got a younger brother there right now playing O-line. Got to play a few years with him. You know, kind of put that on your back and be the one to put on for your city, for your family like that.
That's the Badgers' Jack Nelson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be windy with falling temperatures, and we may catch a sprinkle or two this afternoon. The wind west to northwest gusting to 40 or 45. Temperatures in the low 50s by midday, falling into the 30s by late afternoon. Tomorrow, sunny, not as windy, but colder. Our high tomorrow, 29. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is Shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Maggie Dawn.
Have you heard Rojo and Van Orton deny that Republicans are trying to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? I break down the numbers and call them liar, liar, pants on fire, starting at 2.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. News from the center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Monday, March 3rd. Welcome to March. As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.20. That's up 3 cents since Friday. The average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, $6.23. That's up 12 cents from Friday.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
We have a really, really busy show coming up for you today. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Corey Hartman is going to be here. He is Civic Media's Vice President of Broadcast Operations, but he's also the owner of Severe Studios and knows weather.
Yes.
The man knows weather. He knows weather systems. And in case you missed it, I believe the Trump administration fired 1,800 people from NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. So Corey Hartman's going to be joining us to talk about what that means for us.
Yes. This is so frustrating. Like I want Corey to speak from his chest about this. I want people to listen about how this will affect everyone, including people in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
We don't want our weather privatized.
No. Do you want to have to pay for forecasts?
No. Do you want your networks to have to pay for forecasts, thus doing other things to cover those costs? Yeah, yeah. I'm really, really angry about this.
Greg is a little testy about this.
I'm spicy today.
Corey Hartman is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news to talk about the ramifications of all of these firings at NOAA. After the 11 o'clock news, we were supposed to do Beyond the Cheese today. Unfortunately, our guest has had to reschedule from the Weinbrenner Shoe Company. Been in Wisconsin for a long time making shoes. So we're going to reschedule with that. After 11 o'clock, this, I think, might have fallen under the radar a little bit. The Tate brothers are back in the United States.
Oh, great.
Andrew Tate, who's apparently very close with Barron Trump.
He's 38. That kid's 18. Grody.
No. He's the kids who follow Andrew Tate are all about that age. If you are not familiar with Andrew Tate, we're going to introduce you.
I don't know how you would know him, but okay.
I think it's important, especially if you have younger sons or younger grandsons. I bet you can ask them and they'll know who Andrew Tate is.
Oh, God, yeah.
But Andrew Tate and his brother back in the U.S. From Romania, apparently courtesy of some pressure from the Trump administration. So when we're talking about all the best people, I think it's important that we look at one of the latest ones.
The reverberation of all the best people.
All the best people. Don't tell me that they care about women. Anyway, in hour number two after that, we will lighten things up as we always do for the last half hour of the show. I'm calling this Looking for Clocks in All the Wrong Places. Do we need clocks in public anymore?
Oh, you're about to set a firestorm off with a certain subsect of the population.
Well, I'm just curious. I had a personal experience with this when I had to serve jury duty in Milwaukee County a couple of weeks ago. So do we need clocks in public places? That will be at 11:33. And we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Hanky Spanky edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, I wanted to start off with Brad Schimmel, of course, running for Supreme Court against Susan Crawford. Those emotional women, Greg.
I said that I believe that the vote alone was bad enough, but now you want to serve as judges? My goodness.
Dane County Judge Susan Crawford said on Friday she was surprised her opponent, this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel, has started attacking Wisconsin's sitting Supreme Court justices. In case you missed it, Brad Schimmel was in a radio interview in which he suggested several members of Wisconsin Supreme Court are driven by their emotions. During a November hearing about the abortion ban in Wisconsin, the 1849 banning most abortions in Wisconsin, all four liberal justices are women.
And shockingly had opinions.
They did, which they said out loud. Schimmel, again in this radio interview, said they are being driven by their emotions. A Supreme Court justice had better be able to set aside their personal opinions and emotions and rule on the law objectively. This is, we don't have that objectivity on this court. Then he narrowed it down to Justice Jill Karofsky, who said she was yelling and lost control of her emotions during oral arguments.
Jill Karofsky. That name rings a bell, Jane. Let me do a little research real quick.
Okay. The four liberal justices came out with a joint statement on Brad Schimmel's remarks. Quote, unfortunately, Brad Schimmel is showing he has an antiquated and distorted view of women, unquote. Karofsky declined to comment further after she was singled out by Brad Schimmel. At stake in this election, April 1st, and we talk about this all of the time, about how important this is. The April 1st election tends to be a very, very low turnout election.
Yes.
We need to change that.
Yes, we do.
And have a big, big turnout for voters on April 1st. If Brad Schimmel is elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the conservatives will once again take over. It's only been a year since it flipped back to the liberal, or is it two years since Jada Protasiewicz was elected.
It's been about a year and a half, and they'll take office at the 2-year mark, and all of that good work being done.
The fairer maps we just got will be gone.
Yeah.
And we will have that 1849 abortion ban.
And, yep, yeah, all that will, yeah. And we'll start all over again. And all of those people who got voted out this last election, November, will probably be coming back in, or some version of them.
Even a worse version of them.
Will be coming back in because they have to, because they'll have the, you know, we won, we did it, and they can do even less. The reason why I was looking up Justice Karofsky, I thought she was the one that Justice Prosser strangled years ago back in the.
Oh, no, different justice.
Yeah, that was Justice Ann Bradley.
Right.
When Justice Prosser, who in no emotional rage at all attempted to strangle
another. Not being ruled by his emotions.
No, not one bit. Those men, we rule with our heads.
Right.
You know, when I want to strangle one of my colleagues, it's like, that's a thought I have. I'm like, I go through all, it's like chess. Yeah. So I'm like, I have to strangle this person. No, not at all. Justice Prosser, totally level-headed thinking, doing what she did.
Well, and then I started thinking about Judge Gableman.
Well, also,
who was on the Supreme Court.
And I think of someone like Justice Kelly, who was on the Supreme Court, who when he lost, when he was running, was also just an unhinged monster. He was so, so dark. And then that speech, the concession speech, not emotional at all.
No, not at all.
No.
Men completely in control of their emotions at all times.
We don't go to therapy and we get things done, Jane.
In case you've forgotten, Michael Gableman, just as a little reminder, falsely accused the Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf and other officials in five Wisconsin cities of trying to cover up how election grants were used. Those were the Zucker bucks. Gableman also violated attorney ethics rules by talking about private conversations with Robin Voss. The complaint cites two videos Michael Gableman was in where he supported the recall against Voss. Gableman also practiced law while he was working, again, in case you've forgotten, Robin Voss hired Michael Gableman to find non-existent voter fraud in Wisconsin. That non-existent proof cost us, the taxpayers, over $2 million because Michael Gableman didn't find anything. But he was apparently steadfast enough, a good enough guy, Greg, for Robin Voss to hire him.
I want to also mention the weirdest thing he did, which shows, you know, he's a very level-headed thinker, Mr. Gableman, Judge Gableman, my apologies, former Judge Gableman. He drove all the way to Waukesha and demanded that they arrest the mayors of Green Bay and Madison. That's the level-headed thinking of a totally with-it person.
During a hearing before a Dane County Circuit judge on whether he had inadvertently, whoopsie, destroyed records, Gableman accused the judge from the witness stand of railroading him into jail. He was also heard on a microphone while the court was in recess, making sarcastic comments about an attorney, a female attorney, about her ability to do her job without the judge's help. Gableman was ultimately found in contempt of court for not complying with open records laws. But again, he's a man. He's fine. That's fine. It's all good.
We have outbursts, Jane. Sometimes we punch walls, and sometimes we try to get local officials arrested via the cops. It's fine, Jane. I think all this goes back to the fact that Brad Schimmel is running for office. He's running for the highest court in the land. It is a nonpartisan race in name only.
Ostensibly.
But the group to which he aligns himself is full of all these non-stable individuals. So
with very extreme views,
and you could be saying like, well, why are you talking about all these other people? Let's bring it back to Brad Schimmel. Brad Schimmel's opinion on abortion, the 1849 abortion law,
thing.
It's not flawed. Where is the flaw? He asks. Yep. Where the flaw in that?
Perfectly fine.
And when he wants to talk about abortion access, when he wants to talk about that topic, he brings up his daughters. He has two beautiful adopted daughters.
Which is
great.
Lovely. That's
wonderful.
Lovely.
I love that they had that choice. But that is not what we are talking about here. This is an individual's situation. They chose that path. Great. Two young ladies have a family.
It's wonderful.
But that's not what we've been talking about now. We've been talking about these terrible situations like Laurel, who came to the show 2 weeks ago to talk about what she went through, and something like the 1849 abortion ban that affected her directly.
There's a lot of money in the Supreme Court race. Elon Musk, very, very invested in Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And I think I might have found out why. We'll have all the details on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:33 news, Corey Hartman will be joining us. He is the Vice President of Radio Operations here at Civic Media, and he also owns a company called Severe.
Storms.
Storms. Thank you. That's what it's called. Studio, Severe Studios. It's called Severe Studios, where he last
Severe summer, Susan.
Yes, it's a severe thing. Corey Hartman going to be joining us. The Trump administration has fired almost 2,000 people now from NOAA, which affects forecasting not just around this country, but around the world.
Yeah.
They kind of share that data, you know. But what's this going to mean for us if NOAA gets privatized? So Corey Hartman will be joining us after the 10:30 news. I hope you can stick around for that. We're going to continue our conversation. We were talking about Brad Schimmel, commemorative coin fan, by the way.
Ah, yes, yes.
Commemorative coin fan Brad Schimmel saying that the liberal justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, they're so emotional. They're just ruled by their emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's terrible, apparently. I did want to share this. Jim from Appleton listening on WISS in Oshkosh. Every time I hear a misogynistic remark like that, I think someone should play Gorsuch crying at his hearings. That's a good point, Jim. And it was actually Brett Kavanaugh who cried like a baby.
Poorly, too. Like it was like a, I like beer.
How dare
you make fun of me? How dare you tell the truth about my past?
Please tell me how overly emotional women are and look at that tape from Brett Kavanaugh during his hearing to be on the Supreme Court, by the way, in which he lied and said that Roe was already a precedent and established law. But anyway, we don't have time for that. Jack from Miramax says, I'd rather have a justice who has some emotions like empathy, for example, than one who's clearly trying to buy a seat on the court by taking millions of bribes. Whoops, I mean donations from a citizen of three different countries. That brings us to this. Elon Musk is pouring well over $2 million, has already poured over $2 million into the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. One wonders, is it just because he's so concerned about Wisconsin and our justice system?
He loves freedom.
He does. Joe Schultz from Wisconsin Public Radio has an article on today's WPR as Musk pours millions into Wisconsin's Supreme Court race. Tesla files a case that could reach those justices. No. You mean he has a vested financial interest in making sure that the Wisconsin Supreme Court might back his company. I'm shocked.
Well, hold on. Let me just take this one, Jane. If he does win, then Brad Schimmel, then of course he'll just recuse himself.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because that's what a good justice does, and that's after all what they were suggesting when Janet Protasiewicz simply called the maps rigged. Their hair was on fire for months. But between this and abortion, he's gonna have to he would have to recuse himself from two major cases.
Last year, Wisconsin denied Tesla's request for dealer licenses, saying Tesla didn't qualify for an exemption to a state law that prohibits the maker from owning the dealership.
Yeah.
The company wanted to convert its galleries in Madison and Milwaukee into dealerships, with plans for additional dealerships in Glendale and Fox Cities. Tesla filed a petition for a judicial review in January, a hearing set for later this month on whether or not the case should stay in Outagamie or move to Dane or Milwaukee County. The case could, hypothetically, make its way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Yeah. If Tesla does not accept the circuit court's decision, it could appeal the case to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals. After that, the state Supreme Court would choose whether or not to take the case. So this is, in my estimation, this seems like a pretty good reason for Elon to be in investing millions into Wisconsin Supreme Court race, because there's an outcome that he needs.
Yes.
Right.
And right now he's riding high on popularity with certain individuals. So why not? And they don't know that information. But now you know it's not about freedom. It's about
Tesla.
Terrible cars.
Yeah. It's about Tesla. Musk's money. Nobody cares about this money, by the way.
Yeah.
When it was Zuckerbucks.
Yeah.
And the money that Mark Zuckerberg gave in grants to communities that applied for them.
A different version of Mark Zuckerberg, by the way.
Yeah, completely different version. Yeah. In order to help them carry out the elections.
Yeah.
This is just funding ads against Susan Crawford.
Correct.
So it's not the same thing.
No.
At all.
No.
Musk's money has helped tip the funding scales in Brad Schimmel's favor. And yes, it comes as Tesla is suing Wisconsin over a decision preventing Tesla from opening dealerships in Wisconsin.
But don't worry, folks. Brad Schimmel has said on the record he is not for sale.
And we know he's not emotional. He's a slow, steady, non-emotional kind of, he's not ruled by his emotions.
Nope, Brad. Not one bit.
Can rest easy with that one.
Thank goodness.
We will include the links to these articles in our show notes if you would like to look further. We don't just pick this stuff out of the sky.
Nope.
Go to civicmedia.us, click on shows at the very top, go to Matt Nair on Air, and that will take you to at least 100 prior episodes of our program. You can also subscribe.
You can download those shows, and then you can go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice and subscribe to this show as a podcast. Drops 2 episodes a day. 3 episodes if you count This Shouldn't Be a Thing. You got tons of listening to do.
And it's free.
It's all... I'm against this, but it's all free. I think we should charge them like maybe like a
small stipend.
Wet my beak.
There we go. News is coming up next. When we come back, Corey Hartman will be here, and we're going to talk all things Noah and why this matters to all of us. Stay with us. You were listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
While the nation seems to be in chaos, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin took the time to meet with Wisconsin voters and answer questions. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has the story.
Senator Tammy Baldwin held a virtual town hall meeting on Thursday to answer questions from concerned constituents in central Wisconsin. The meeting was moderated by Stevens Point Mayor Mike Wiesa. The first question outlined how chaotic things seem in Washington, D.C., and asked how to help calm the uncertainty people are living with every day.
It does feel a lot like chaos here.
Senator Baldwin said announcements are coming so fast and furious that it's difficult for hardworking citizens to keep up.
I will tell you that some of the chaos that we're experiencing is very purposeful.
A top Trump advisor said their strategy in the first days and weeks was to flood the zone. Many of the things proposed have resulted in lawsuits, making it even harder to understand what's going on.
I think it's important to remember in all of this that we do have power. Everyone here has power, and your voice matters.
Baldwin said she's been spending time on the Senate floor reading letters from concerned constituents, and those voices and stories do make a difference.
Again, I'm here to fight for you, but I'm also here to fight with you.
She said through this chaotic and confusing time that we have real power, and encouraged Wisconsinites to keep talking to their representatives. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
A Friday statement from Madison-based UW Health said if an agreement isn't reached by April 15th, it will no longer be in-network for patients with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield Wisconsin Insurance. UW Health said Anthem has agreed to much higher reimbursement rates for other Wisconsin health systems while proposing an increase to UW Health's rate that was below the rate of inflation and also demanding the ability to unilaterally change payment terms without a renegotiation.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I'm currently three episodes into the new season of Reacher, and so far, I would recommend it as a Pete pick. Actual giant Alan Ritchson has returned as the title character, kicking butt and taking names. Season three so far has more of a feel like season one, where Reacher stays true to the character, giving assistance to the underdog and those in need. Reacher season three gets a so far so good rating. Stay tuned. Spoiler alert regarding White Lotus season two. Season three of the hit HBO show is underway. White Lotus is always set at a White Lotus resort, where in episode one, we learn a murder has been committed, but don't find out who the victim is or who done it until the last episode of the season. Jennifer Coolidge was the victim in season two and says she hopes that her on-screen husband, played by John Grise, is the victim in the third season. That seems the obvious choice, but writer-creator Mike White likes to keep the audience guessing. You can catch White Lotus at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the calm before the storm, with clouds increasing and spotty sprinkles possible. High temperatures today still tap the mid-50s, and tonight stay above freezing. With scattered showers expected tomorrow morning, rain really ramps up by tomorrow evening. Then it flips to snow overnight and through Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
Dr. Omar, we sometimes think I'm going to lose weight. I'm at the gym 3-4 times a week, and then 2 months down the road, they see that they've lost 3 pounds.
Think of the four main things to help us balance: how I sleep, how I eat, how I live, and my relationships. Don't shy away from seeking therapy. We need to seek that support to keep our health goals going.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and from the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, chair of the musical theater department, Mark Hansen. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
And good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, join Maggie Dawn today, 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. She's going to be speaking with Professor Lowell Barrington from Marquette. They're going to talk about the Trump-Zelensky Oval Office meeting on Friday. Hour number two, Maggie will talk with Greta Bedovkovics from the Center for American Progress about the SAVE Act. And this is something that we talked about well before the election, especially for married women.
Yeah.
This could prove problematic. It's not good.
No.
And it's yet another effort to suppress the vote.
Yep.
This time it looks like they're kind of aiming at married women. They don't like women voting. We're too emotional,
Greg.
You
can just leave it at they don't like women. Just, and stop there.
There's that, too. Next hour at this time, we will lighten it up as we always do. We're going to kick around whether or not we need clocks in public. Burning issue of the day. We will wrap it up with this shouldn't be a thing, the hanky spanky edition. So stay tuned for that. Right now, though, we are joined by Civic Media's Vice President of Broadcast Operations and also the owner of Severe Studios. Corey Hartman is joining us on the phone. Good morning, Corey. Thanks for making time for us. How you doing?
Good morning.
Well, I wanted to have you here after I saw this headline. I was off on Friday, but this is certainly still very important. This from the Washington Post. Trump fires hundreds of people at NOAA and the National Weather Service. The terminations happen before a potential severe weather outbreak in the southeastern U.S. and only months ahead of the next Atlantic hurricane season. Now, Corey, I said before you joined us that you are also the owner of Severe Studios, which is you're a storm chaser, right?
Storm chaser, a forecaster, you know, albeit amateur forecaster. I do it for a living at times, but I don't have a degree. And I personally rely a lot on the National Weather Service to give me the data that I need, the information that I need, the modeling data, the computers and the satellites and all of those things belong to NOAA and the National Weather Service. And a lot of that stuff in the private sector is just repackaged government data.
Right.
So I use it to, you know, help my forecasts and figure out where to go and keep people safe and do the storm chasing thing. But also on a daily basis, I do weather for 75 radio stations across the upper Midwest. And without the National Weather Service, it would be very, very hard to do my job.
Well, as you said, Corey, NOAA and the National Weather Service are the ones who have the models from, and that's how you base your forecast. You're looking at what has happened in the past, correct?
Looking at what's happening now and what's happened in the past, and then the computer models spit out what's going to happen in the future. And we're telling the future, you know, and it's not an exact science yet. But in the last decade, we've gone from really where the forecast is not good more than 2, maybe 3 days out, to where your 6 or 7 day forecast is actually pretty reliable.
Yeah.
When I did TV weather about 12 years ago, the 5th, 6th, and 7th panels on the screen in the graphics were just kind of a guess, to be dead honest with you. It was based a little bit on climatology. It was based a little bit on, you know, there's 1 or 2 long range models, but nowadays we are really, really lucky that the growth and the advancement that the National Weather Service has done with the forecasting models. And there's more parts of NOAA. There are satellite divisions. There are modeling divisions. There's the National Weather Service, which is your local forecast. There's the Storm Prediction Center in Norman, Oklahoma, which is what issues the tornado watches and severe thunderstorm watches. And those are critically important. And I can't stress enough how important that division is to NOAA as a whole.
Well, this is something that we are all so dependent on, even if you don't realize it, right? It's, you know, you're going camping for the weekend. You check the forecast. You're going to travel somewhere. You check the forecast. It's part of our daily lives that we've just been, I don't know what the right word is, Corey. We just, it's part of the fabric, right? And it's we get it for free.
It's part of the fabric, and most people don't even realize it, right? They don't know because they get it on their iPhone or they get it on some app or something. But 98% of that data flows from the National Weather Service or from NOAA free over satellite. If you have the right receiver and the right satellite, you can pick it up at home if you want. and that's the thing that people don't know is that the private sector is really repackaging a lot of that and honestly making a lot of money off of no cost of entry.
Well, what would it cost, Corey, for a small owner like you mm-hmm. to take on the data collection that these government agencies are doing? It just seems to me like that would be price prohibitive.
There's no possible way to match what the National Weather Service does. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there are something like 12 or 14,000 airport weather monitoring systems that are automated that are across the country that do the temperature and the humidity and all of those things. There's like 10 or 12 parameters at each one of these locations. And that is the main data that goes into the computer forecasting models. And without that, without the balloon launches, I mean, they still do a physical balloon launch. They put a sensor on the end of a string and a gigantic balloon gets launched multiple times a day. And we're talking, you know, the other day, the winds were blowing, what, 45, 50 miles an hour?
Yep.
And you should see these interns and people that go out there and just about get blown into the next field to launch these gigantic weather balloons so they can go into the upper levels of the atmosphere. And that's the part other people forget, too, is that weather is 3D. It goes miles and miles and miles into space. And what happens up above affects what happens down below. And so we have to measure that. And without that data, without those people, it's really, really hard.
The Trump administration let go meteorologists, hydrologists, and technicians that help inform daily weather forecasts. This is out of the Washington Post. We do have a comment on the live stream from Andrew who says, as I understand it, NOAA is being replaced by the weather rock. If it's wet, it's raining. If it's white, if it's snowing. If it's hot, it's sunny. If it's missing, it's a hurricane.
Tornado or hurricane.
Yeah. There you go.
Yes. That's perfect, Andrew.
Yes, and we use the weather rock. I mean, there were times where I did weather. I didn't even have a window, right? I had to look at a sky cam or something. But I like the weather rock, and that tells you what's happening now.
Right, but where you are, yes.
Yeah, see if that weather rock could tell you what's going to happen 6 days from now. Yeah.
John from Hubertus also texting in, I've been to storm school maybe 10 times. How would these cuts affect sky-worn and weather balloons that you were just talking about, Corey?
Oh, man, that's the direct thing. So usually the warning coordination meteorologist or the meteorologist in charge at the National Weather Service are the ones that will put together the list of sky-worn spotter training every spring. And we're coming into spring right now. There's like you said, a tornado outbreak that's probably going to happen tomorrow down south. I've got storm chasers heading that direction right now. And without the training, without the, you know, here's what a wall cloud looks like, here's what a tornado actually looks like, and without training the spotters, the volunteers that go out and sit on the west side of your county so that your sirens can go off when the tornado's coming, there's no training. That won't happen. They will be too busy backfilling other positions to worry about spotter training, and that would probably, if I was running a National Weather Service office with staff cuts, unfortunately, that would be one of the first things that I would cut.
Well, and that's the thing too, Corey, is that it seems like all of these cuts and job eliminations that are happening and will be happening are just to force the issue of saying, well, we can't really do it, so let's just let the private sector come in here and they have all the fix everything. They have all the money. They can take care. It's one more thing off our plate. Zoom, burn the chainsaw has worked again. But that's really the pathway here is to make it so weak and so incapable of doing its job to say sell it for parts.
I would say that would be great, but then we cut off the data feed to AccuWeather. or whoever in the private sector is, you know, they're one of the biggest ones that are pushing it. College Park, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. They've been pushing it for years and years to basically dismantle the public weather forecasting industry, if you will.
Yeah.
And they really want that to be 100% private. But then if they want it to be 100% private, they get 0% public data. And let's see how they can do it, because they don't have their own weather balloons and right. weather sensors. They might have a few what are called PWS stations, personal weather stations, but those are not calibrated. They can be put up by Joe in the backyard, and none of it really is good. So let's see how good their forecasts are if we don't give them our data.
Well, and that's my other concern, is that if they don't have access to that, if they are the main holders of the weather, they then go to the government and say, we need subsidies to get this to do these things. All those yes. people that you fired, will hire them for less sure. money.
Yes.
And they can do all this stuff. And then we're subsidizing private weather and wasting money.
It's similar to what happens with airlines and multitudes of other things, where we subsidize the private industry when we already are doing an excellent job. Everybody wants to say, well, they get paid for being wrong 50% of the time or whatever. And that's funny. I get that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a chuckle. But honestly, as mentioned before, not only are we more accurate more days out, but we are more accurate on a percentage basis of sky condition, temperature, if it's going to rain or not. The skill has come so far. Even just in the last decade. I mean, you think of the advances in all sciences, especially medical right now, but the science of weather has gone into overdrive in the last decade. Dual polarity radars, where we can literally tell if it's a raindrop or a hailstone before it falls. You know, the modeling, the just all of it. I don't want to get super geeky.
Sure,
but
sure.
It's so much further along than even it was 10 years ago. But now people are getting stuff from apps that have no human involvement. So it's just straight, you know, computer data being pushed out to your app with no oversight, no meteorologist even seeing it. And, you know, that is not going to be as accurate as a person who knows the local area and knows the weather patterns in the local area and looks at the data and looks for trends in the data. Well, because that's what we look at to figure out how much snow there's going to be. Did this storm move south, north? Is it coming in faster, slower? Is there more snow now? Is there less snow? The trends are really what makes a human meteorologist put out a forecast.
Well, and again, it's more than just looking out the window saying, it's sunny, it's all good here.
Yeah.
Brian from Milwaukee, I see you on the line. We are up against the break. We will take you first when we come back. Stay with us. Corey Hartman is our guest, the Vice President of Broadcast Operations here at Civic, and also the owner of Sevier Studios. We're talking about all the cuts at NOAA and what that means for us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. Stay close. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eye-Survey is proven to slow GA progression.
Eye-Survey gets GA going slower.
Eye-Survey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Eye-Survey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Eye-Survey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Eye-Survey today.
Eye-Survey gets GA going slower.
Visit Eye-Survey.com. That's Eye-Survey.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform shedding more users than a molting parrot. Corey Hartman is our guest. He's the Vice President of Broadcast Operations here at Civic and also the owner of Severe Studios, which follows weather and storm chasers and all those things. And we're talking about all the firings at NOAA. And Brian from Milwaukee has been very, very patient on the phone. Thank you for waiting, Brian. What'd you want to say?
Oh, not a problem. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have a friend that went to UWM Milwaukee for meteorology. And I was asked them one day, I said, what's the most, you know, trusted local news channel to watch? And she said, I know it's going to sound shocking. She said, none of them. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, in meteorology, we get everything from the National Weather Service, and so do they. That's where everything stems from. And it's the truth. And, you know, just like Corey said, you know, they got thousands upon thousands upon thousands of data. And then think about, you know, the service that would happen if the National Weather Service is cut as far as safety is concerned with hurricane season and Tornado Alley and everything else. I mean, here in Wisconsin, we got, what, how many tornadoes a year do we have? I mean, even in winter, which is unheard of. And, you know, I don't think people understand what the National Weather Service does. They even help with educating, you know, teachers in the schools. There's a great page on their site called Jetstream, which is like an online course that anyone can take. Mm-hmm. It's free.
Yeah.
With videos and questions and study guides and stuff like that. So the National Weather Service does a lot more than what people think.
Yes.
And my friend told me about an app that syncs with the National Weather Service. And I open it up because I use public transit to get around Milwaukee. I don't have a car.
Sure.
So I depend on knowing what the weather's going to do. And the nice thing is I can open up that app right before I leave, and it pinpoints the accuracy of my location and gives me an accurate forecast.
Thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate you checking in. Again, we don't appreciate just how big of a role this plays in our life every day.
Yeah.
We really don't.
Absolutely. And Corey, something I wanted to talk to you about really quick was, and on top of what Brian was saying, and we get a text message from, I believe it was Jim in Brookfield, who mentioned the age-old Sharpie Gate, where the president, the now president back then, redrew the lines of where
the hurricane was supposed to land.
Part of the reason why we have these individuals in such good positions, they are scientists, they are experts, they are going to give their undaunted opinion, they are going to be fair and honest. With where we're going now, it's not going to be about reporting, and we're going to talk and reporting the best weather, because weather, of course, leads up to the conversation of climate change. We are going to have people in place who are going to discuss the terms of weather and whatever NOAA and the NWS has to offer in terms of messaging in the Trump White House, not of just, hey, a hurricane's coming to Florida. Here's the area. Here's what's going to happen. It's going to be, how do we get this information to the people? But it also has to merge with a message from the White House of how great and powerful the man behind the curtain is.
Certainly, there are employees of the National Weather Service that have opinions on the administration. But the number one thing that I have always heard from them is that when they are putting out forecasts, they don't look at political boundaries. They don't take their personal feelings into account. It is and should be, yes, one of the most apolitical things out there. And it seems like it's sometimes the rest of us, the royal us of the United States, that are trying to make it into a political thing. And you can get into climate change. That becomes political real quick.
Yeah.
And all I can do, I said the last time I joined you guys, was that I have seen in today, by the way, is the 18th anniversary of SevereStudios.com.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So in 18 years of watching severe weather march across the United States, and when I started, I thought, okay, yeah, it's, you know, basically March through August and it's over. No, we get tornadoes all the time, mm-hmm, in the United States. So we get a little break around Christmas, and that's about it. You,
yeah,
know, and maybe early, because we've chased tornadoes on Christmas Day before down in the South. So it should be apolitical, but I've seen a gigantic change in where the tornadoes are. The space between the outbreaks is greater. The location is different. And then when the tornadoes come, they're stronger.
One last text I wanted to share with you. Doug here from Green Bay. I love your show. Thank you so much, Doug. I was a meteorologist for 23 years, mostly in Green Bay. Another important role of the National Weather Service: soil moisture measurements, drought monitoring for agriculture, all businesses that work outside of it, like roofing contractors, concrete guys, yeah, builders. We rely on these forecasts. It's crucially important.
So important for the ag sector.
Yes.
I mean, you know, when to plant, what to do, when, you know, how many growing days, all of those things. There's a reason that it's under the Department of Commerce. And that's one of the main reasons, is because it affects agriculture.
Corey Hartman is the vice president of broadcast operations here at Civic Media. Also, the owner of SevereStudios.com. Check it out when there's storms in Wisconsin. They do a great job. By the way, Corey, I was accused a couple of weeks ago when it got so super cold of being a liberal and telling people to bundle up, because only Democrats think we have to remind people to bundle up. So apparently that makes every meteorologist in the country is a Democrat. And also to that texter, I just want to point out, we put warning labels on frozen pizza boxes, so bite me. Corey Hartman,
wow,
thank you. Really appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care. News is coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Badger basketball game over the weekend and also find out whether we still have a country. If we do, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks. Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USA and no more USA. Well, this thing's going to rot the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer standing solidly behind Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
This government, this house, and this nation stand in unwavering support behind him and the people of Ukraine.
Yeah. Starmer addressing Parliament following the weekend's defense summit in London. In Western Germany, officials now say two people were killed and several others hurt when a driver plowed his car into a crowd of people. The driver's been arrested. The alleged gunman in the Highland Park, Illinois, 4th of July shooting in 2022 has pleaded guilty, avoiding a trial that was to have begun today. Pope Francis spending another day in the hospital. The Vatican says he had a peaceful night and experienced no respiratory distress as he did last Friday. Firefighters in the Carolinas battling at least 175 fires stoked by strong winds and dry conditions. South Carolina's fire marshal says 4,200 acres have burned. This is ABC News.